off with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
New Year's Eve still feels like the one night where anything is possible.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Let's raise a glass. Cheers to you, dear. I'm so glad that
this is Just Plane Radio. Craig, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Dennis. Okay, so this pilot locked himself in the cockpit because he was a little upset that the airline he was working for was not paying him. Now, I don't know how or what the purpose of this was, because you lock yourself in the cockpit, that would sound like, well, okay, what, you're going to just work forever more until you come out?
It's one way to guarantee that the airplane is not going to take off, which is going to get somebody's attention. And by locking himself in, they couldn't exactly bring a replacement crew in and kick him out.
Okay. So that's what he was thinking. And he did get the attention. I mean, we're talking about
it. Oh, he definitely did. I mean, Mexican police, you know, policia.
Yeah. So I mean, he was griping. And I guess he told the passengers what was up too, right?
He got on the PA and made an announcement to all the passengers who were stuck on the plane that, you know, look, I'm not unlocking this door and coming out until all of its pilots are paid. Some of them haven't been paid in up to 5 months.
Wow.
And he said he's, you know, Magna Charters apparently has been struggling for quite some time. And the pilot said he even had to buy his own charts to keep working.
Yeah.
So that's kind of on the unacceptable side of things,
I would think. And I mean, did the passengers, you know, start to say, well, hey, I'll chip in $20. Let's go. Good Lord. Or I just wonder if they got any sympathy at all from the passengers, or they're like, son of a, you know, I would imagine.
Yeah, most likely that, because, you know, now they paid for the flight. Yeah. They're not going on the flight. The flight got canceled after the security, you know, basically stormed the cockpit and forcibly removed him.
Right.
So now are they ever going to get their money back? Are they going to get to go on their trip? You know, it's ugly and cascading.
Well,
so it's definitely didn't help the situation.
When you're alerted that the crews haven't been paid for 5 months, would you go back and fly that aircraft or that airplane?
Probably not. I'd probably go to my credit card company and try to get a refund.
Yeah, that would not be ideal. You want your pilots and crew to be paid at least almost on time, if not 100% on time.
On the other hand, if there's somebody out there that's trying to get some time in a 737-300, you know, and you're not worried about pay, you know, you just want the flight time, they might be an ideal. They might be hiring. There's at least one open pilot position, I would imagine, about now.
Right. Does it say in the story, do they actually have to, like, storm the aircraft to make this thing work, Dennis, or...
Police did come in, you know, basically force the door open and remove him.
Yeah, because I thought these things were like almost ironclad now. That had to be quite an effort, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know if Mexico has the same rules. This is also a 737-300, which is a very old variant of the airframe. I mean, there's not I don't think any one of the 300s are still flying in, you know, U.S. airlines. It's all, would be the... this 700, 800, 900 series. So that's the 737 Neos.
Right.
I think is about all we still have flying out there.
Okay. All right. Well, not really the best way to, you know, put on a protest. I mean, you're going to get some attention. There's no doubt, but I'm not sure this was the way to go about it. So hopefully we're not going to have any copycat pilots, even if they find themselves in the same scenario, and hopefully they don't.
I think it's more of a career-limiting move if you do that.
I would think he's probably grounded for a while.
Well, how come you left your last company? Well, I locked myself in the cockpit in protest for lack of pay. Okay, thank you. Nice to meet you. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Time for a career change. Time for a career change. But, yeah, hopefully we're not going to see any, you know, similar type of scenarios in the future. And because that would not be ideal.
No, and I don't think you're going to see, I mean, Spirit, you know, there's been talk back and forth about, you know, the low-cost carriers and Spirit being on the edge, but they got a big cash infusion. Their pilots are getting paid, at least. So,
yeah,
you know, even if the company's struggling, they are taking care of their people. So I think we have a lot less likelihood of that sort of issue here in the country.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. All right. So we got this other story, and this is huge because evidently this is the first time the emergency landing, or what do they call it again?
Garmin Autoland.
Yeah, the Garmin Autoland was put into effect on a King Air. And this was like the first aircraft that it, for a King Air that it was put in, and then they actually had to use it. Is that right?
Right. They've done multiples of these in testing, but this is the first time it was actually used, I like to say, in anger. But apparently, the King Air had taken off and had a pressurization problem on climbing up through 23,000 feet from Aspen to Rocky Mountain Airport.
Yeah.
So the crew chose to push the button. So, and they put their masks and everything on, but they consciously made the decision to let the airplane fly itself at this point with the pressurization problem. I don't really understand the whole logic behind that because, yeah, you know, if you were awake, alert, had your masks on and everything, you could have just flown the plane like normal. But they chose to let Autoland do its thing. So,
interesting.
But maybe we'll find out more as the investigation unfolds. But the fact is, the system worked. The aircraft, you know, got itself down from 23,000 feet, shot an instrument approach, landed, and shut down in the middle of the runway. And if you listen to the live ATC tapes or watch the VASA Aviation playback on YouTube, you can actually hear the little robotic voice calling out, "Pilot incapacitation, aircraft making emergency auto land at, you know, such and such airport."
Right.
And it was calling it out on the tower frequency and everything. So
interesting.
It's really pretty cool to watch, you know, in the real time how this was happening.
Yeah. And but I remember us getting the lowdown on this system, you know, when we were working with the folks from Cirrus. Always the pilots have the option to override.
Correct.
This system. So that's it. I didn't know that part about that they engaged it themselves because they were concerned that, you know, obviously they were at altitude and they thought, well, maybe we'll pass out because of oxygen maybe or something. And well, so we better push it. But
according to the article, the pilots remained alert through the entire episode, did not require any medical treatment after the autonomous landing.
Huh.
So,
well, I, you know, we don't know all the facts here, but just, if this were the scenario where they did this as kind of a backup, like, hey, we could pass out here because we're at this altitude, so let's just do this instead, and then they don't take control back once they get back into breathable airspace, you know, below what, 16,000? Is that right?
Below 10,000 is generally what you go for.
Yeah, and then and they just let the Autoland do its thing. Would the FAA frown on that type of scenario, you think? Or
I don't think so.
Cut them some slack, or what do you think?
I mean, the airplane's equipped to do it. It's certified to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, the question they may be asking, you know, why did you feel that you needed to do this just so that they understand?
Right.
I mean, if it was because it didn't have enough oxygen to run their masks or something, you know, they were concerned about the oxygen on board, things like that. Well, then that might open up some new discussions. But we don't know anything about that at this point.
But that's what I'm saying. In that scenario, if that was the case, I mean, would they get a demerit, or would they? Okay, well, you know, everything worked out fine, or do we know? I mean, it's because we're in uncharted territory, so to speak, when you're talking about a system like this, right?
I mean, I don't think the FAA is going to fault anybody for using all tools available.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
I mean, I suppose years ago, if you would have used an autopilot, you know, on a cruise, a long flight, that you might have been looked down on by the people that flew the airplane by hand, because that's the way we all did it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you got an emergency and this system can take over for you and give you another level of safety, I mean, I really can't fault them for that. You know, we don't know yet what all went on, and I'm sure we'll find out more details exactly, but, you know, the crew is alert. They consciously chose to preserve and use all tools.
Well, there you go.
And minimize additional variables. So
it's there, and you use it if you need it. And that's your call, I guess. So fair enough. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.